Legends getting called out. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. You can mean that a couple different ways. So first of all, I want to point everybody to our nicknames bracket. We are attempting to find the greatest sports nickname of all time. Good morning, Pearl. How you doing?
I'm good, Pearl. Great nickname. Is that guy on our list?
No, hold on. You said that names can't be on that like personal names couldn't be on the list. Pearl is Perloff. It's basically Perloff.
Earl yeah. the Pearl could have been on this list.
Yeah, but
spoiler,
it's an homage
to
Dwayne Pearl Washington and Earl the Pearl because I have a mad creative hoops game. Where do you think that came from? Just because my last name was Perloff? No. They're like, he is the incarnation of Earl the Pearl Monroe.
I'm such an amateur.
Yeah, Manny, how did you know not know about Perloff? What did you say? Your mad skills? What did you call it?
I don't know. I mean, Earl Monroe, Dwayne the Pearl Washington was a magician. I mean, he was crazy.
No, you don't have to tell me, Syracuse yeah. legend. So, okay, we have our nickname bracket, which is live now. And there are two out of the four regions are available for you to vote on, and we hope you will. Voting is open for 24 hours. It is the Hoops and Handles region, where the number one seed, Air Jordan, up against the 16 seed, White Chocolate. It goes on from there. Some other notable ones, the fifth seed in this region, Black Mamba, going up against the 12 seed, Dr. Duncan Stein.
Daryl Griffith.
Of course.
Daryl Griffith, right?
Yeah. Number four seed, the Rain Man, which a few of us found out that is not spelled R-A-I-N. Sean Kemp's nickname is R-E-I-G-N, the Rain Man, against 13 seed, mm-hmm. the Logo, and it goes on from there.
Yeah, it's so funny. I thought it was Rain Man.
You're not alone. I also thought it was Rain Man. I thought it was a nod to the Seattle weather. It turns out that's not true.
Well, no, I think it's tied into that. I think it's a double entendre.
That's a play on words.
But he's losing badly in the poll. Where's my love for Sean Kemp? He's like one of my favorite players of all time.
Well, he's going up against the Logo, so that's
yeah,
going to be
that's a
tough
a problem.
One to win.
When they make the actual league's logo after you, that's pretty good.
Well, and also, every one of these nicknames, we're doing 64, the bar is so ridiculously high.
Yeah.
You think, 64 is a lot. It's not when you start getting down to it. So that's just the Hoops and Handles region. And then we also have the Legacy and Legends region, which is alive for you to vote on as well. One seed in this region is the Great One. Wayne Gretzky goes up against 16 seed Hammer and Hank. I mean, Hank Aaron is a 16 seed in this nickname
bracket. Right, but Hammer and Hank.
The alliteration.
It's an alliteration, but his name is in it. It's not as a nickname as some of the other ones. I mean, that's the thing. Like, we're not saying he's not the best baseball player. Like, people have to understand. It's nothing against Hank Aaron.
This is a nickname only. Yes. The second seed in this region, the Say Hey Kid against the Iron Horse. Third seed, the Great Bambino against Broadway Joe. Kansas Comet, of course.
The Great Bambino!
The Great Hambino is definitely on our movie nickname.
And the Kansas Comet is the four seed, Gale Sayers, against the Flying Dutchman, which is Honus Wagner, but there's a few Dutchmen. The Van Bredikhoff family, I know, is famously also Flying Dutchman,
yeah,
but
I mean,
we're giving it to Honus Wagner.
There's several people who have the same nicknames. We just did two Pearls.
A couple Rockets.
Yeah, there's three Rockets.
Mm-hmm.
Three very famous Rockets.
So
I don't even know. When I saw we all put out lists, I wasn't sure which Rocket people were talking about.
I thought we were talking about Elton John.
The Rocket Man?
It's Rocket Man.
Same thing.
Which would have been a good nickname.
Why is no one in sports a Rocket Man?
Yeah, like, I don't know. Maybe Kevin Durant this year will be the Rocket Man.
He's already the Slim Reaper, which, again, didn't make the cut.
Tarantula.
And the Tarantula. He's got a couple.
The Rocket Man was Kim Jong-un.
Oh, boy.
That's a good one. Yeah, no, the funny thing, too, is I think it hurts
18
you.
18 hole-in-ones.
If you have four nicknames, then you don't have one nickname. I'm just going to say that.
Okay.
That's a problem.
However, you're going to be a hypocrite, though, because in our own bracket, the Diesel does make it on.
But he was probably a little bit lower because he had multiple nicknames.
What's good, Chuck?
Shaq has so many nicknames. The Big Aristotle.
Yeah.
Shaqtus. Oh, Jenks, you'll
be here. Shaqtus was awesome.
Did everyone call him Shazam or not really?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
He was just in that movie.
The Shaq Rock.
Big Shamrock.
Charles, our guy Charles Barkley has two nicknames that hurt you. It does hurt you. You guys would be, when you're known as one thing, like Sweetness, Walter Payton.
Yep.
Who's someone called in about earlier. Yeah. Like nobody.
Different region. We actually had a long discussion.
They don't call me Championship Chuck.
They don't call him Championship Chuck.
That's his nickname, right?
They do call him the Round Mountain Rebound, and they do call him Sir Charles. And we really had to go back and forth on which one makes the bracket.
Right.
Well, you can't be calling yourself Playoff P and lose all the time.
That's what I said. If you have two nicknames, do you really have a nickname?
Well, I was wondering if there was a situation where we would have had multiple of the same athlete in the bracket.
Vince Carter had Vinsanity and Half Man, Half Amazing. Yes. We went with Half Man, Half
Amazing. Wait, you were saying that there you could have two nicknames for one athlete. So Shaq Diesel and...
Shaqtus.
What's the other one? The big...
The big Aristotle.
The big Aristotle.
Yeah.
Shaqtus was very specific. You know, that was just so for though. The Phoenix Shaquille O'Neal.
Which lasted like 90 days in my memory.
Kind of like Kevin Durant.
Okay, so by the way, we just so you, if you're looking here, the Hoops and Handles region, we don't have round, mound, or rebound on there, but don't worry, it's in the...
Yeah, basketball players are so pervasive in this list that they can steep into other brackets.
Yeah, they're in different regions, so...
I got this bracelet from a guy in the steam room.
Don't worry, we would not leave Charles Barkley off the list. So again, Hoops and Handles, the Legacy and Legends region, they're all... Both of those are live, and we're going to make two more live tomorrow. Speaking of legends, though, Randy Moss, certainly a legend. He's back, by the way. He's feeling healthy, which that's first and foremost because he was going through a serious health issue. But he seems like he's back, and he's already firing off hot takes, which is that Tyreek Hill, nowhere near an all-time great. That's the quote. He said this to the South Florida Sun Sentinel. He's nowhere near all time. Where is he at in today's game? Tyreek Hill's probably top five. I put him top five. But that doesn't mean he's an all-time great. Now, I think a lot of people may be taken aback by that. Here's some numbers to back this up. Tyreek Hill Pearl is 31 years old right now.
Mm-hmm.
He is 42nd all-time in career receptions at 798.
Okay.
That's just behind... former Falcons wide receiver Roddy White, and just ahead of tight end Zach Ertz. Now, he's also 42nd all-time with career receiving yards. That'd be 11,098. That's just behind your guy, former Eagle wide receiver DeSean Jackson, and just ahead of Chad Ochocinco, who did make this list in a different region. 82 career touchdowns, currently tied with Anquan Boldin and Reggie Wayne for 30th. All time.
Okay, so those numbers aren't going to quite get him into it. Like, will you say all time list? Like, that's not going to get you in the top 10, but he could improve upon them. He can move up.
31 years old, though. Playing with a quarterback that gets injured a lot.
I think that I'm a little, listen, I thought that was an unnecessary critique because Tyreek Hill at his peak was arguably the best player in the NFL. I mean, close. He was just such a weapon.
He's also playing on one of the best teams in the NFL, though. I mean, he had nobody throwing to him. He had Patrick Mahomes.
He was just so different, though. He was so that I understand. Of course, when you put those numbers, he's not going to make a top 10 list. But there was something just unique about Tyreek Hill. He's one of the fastest players I've ever seen. Good nickname, too, Cheetah.
Didn't make this list.
Yeah, I mean, that's not quite. Yeah, again, he's not on the all-time nickname list or the all-time receiver list. I just think that was a little mean, like. I don't know. Like Randy Moss, would you put Tyreek Hill? Like, that's the other thing, too. Like, who's on the all-time list? Like, Don Hudson? Like, Tyreek Hill would run circles around him.
Well, that's a plumber than fireman kind of conversation.
Yeah, I don't
different
know.
Eras. But he is an 8-time Pro Bowler and a 5-time All-Pro.
So he's a Hall of Famer.
First team All-Pro. Right, right.
Right, right. The way Randy Moss talked about him, it almost implied he's not a Hall of Famer. And he is a Hall of Famer.
He's a Hall of Famer. We're talking about all-time greats. So we're talking about the inner circle, the inner circle. You know?
I'm looking at NFL.com, for example, has a list of top 10 receivers of all time. And number 9 is Marvin Harrison. Yeah, he's not quite there. But he's more explosive than Marvin Harrison. He did some things better than Marvin Harrison. Number 8 is Calvin Johnson. Number 7 is Larry Fitzgerald. He's not quite in that conversation, but I don't think he's so far below. It's not crazy to consider him, is it? Like, Randy made it sound like there's no way you would think about him as an all-time great receiver. That's what I read in the quote.
Yeah, I think it's going to... I think people would probably be shocked to hear he's this low on career receiving yards,
but he'll
receptions
jump up.
And touchdowns.
Yeah, he'll jump up a little bit.
Yeah, but, I mean, he got hurt last year. So the first... he only played... Actually, they're saying that he was in 17 games last year, but we know that he was, like, sidelined throughout those games. I don't know.
Well, 31? I mean, listen, did you see the ESPN has been ranking every position? With Jeremy Fowler has been putting together a list of executives, and he's still top five.
I mean, he's three, wasn't
he? When you talk about active players, only two players have more all-pro first-team selections. Well, actually, one.
Two receivers or two players?
No, players.
Wow.
Only one. Actually, he's only one because Zach Martin just retired. Bobby Wagner is the only other player.
Hmm. Yeah,
I mean, that's impressive.
The other thing, too, is he's just very, first of all, he's got a lot of off-field stuff. That's part of the conversation with him. It always has been. But is he, take Marvin Harrison or Larry Fitzgerald or even Calvin Johnson, there are certain things that Tyreek Hill could do that none of those guys could do. I mean, he was just a massive home run threat. And there are a lot of things they could do that Tyreek Hill can't do.
Okay, so do you think because Tyreek Hill's speed differentiated him in so many ways that he deserves to be higher on the list than his career numbers would suggest?
Because
I could say, yeah, you could look at it that way, and maybe you want to put him in an all-time greats category. But he also, again, he was on this amazing team. I'm not saying that anything came easy to him, but kind of. How many people got to play with Mahomes?
His best season was in Miami, though, statistically. So he led the league in receiving with 1,800 yards in 2023. I mean, that was kind of a wide-open offense. But he did it in Miami, so does that help? Again, he'll move up that list a little bit, though, Maggie, because he'll be in the top 20. I think he's going to be good this year. You're really down on the Dolphins. I think that's part of it. We're kind of worried that they're all going to get hurt.
I'm a little. How dare I? You know, I'm a little down on the Dolphins for sure. And you know, I'm looking at guys who are ahead of him or right near him on this list, like a Zach Ertz. You know, who? How dare you? Had some good years in Philly, but then like didn't have nearly the caliber of quarterback. I think. I mean, I guess was Kyler.
I mean, Zach Ertz.
To him? Yeah, Kyler.
Yeah, he was in his rookie year. Offenses.
Okay.
But I mean,
Roddy White and Matt Ryan. I don't know. I think that for Tyreek Hill, like I think of guys like Tim Brown, you know, who never got to play with a great quarterback. He was catching passes from like 16 different guys in his career. It was just silly. And Tyreek Hill got to play with the greatest of all time. And so, if you couldn't become the greatest, then
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
What was the greatest era of Patrick Mahomes in terms of his production? It was
realistic.
Definitely with Tyreek Hill.
Who caught that big pass in the Super Bowl? That was all Tyreek Hill. I mean, Patrick underthrew him by like 10 yards against the Niners in 2019.
But do you think that really the years when even they're winning the Super Bowl, but it's obviously not the numbers that Mahomes put up, that people think Mahomes is doing any less? Like, are these any less great?
Yeah, definitely.
I do.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, I think everybody is just a little down on his production.
Okay, but if we had a draft and you could start your franchise with one quarterback,
Patrick Mahomes.
Still Patrick Mahomes, but
that far ahead.
He can do more.
Right. Like, but I guess if I was arguing, do I want to rather face Patrick Mahomes in 2019 with that cheetah or Patrick Mahomes just dinking and dunking to Travis Kelce, I would take that Travis Kelce-led team any day of the week.
That's true.
Matching up against them.
But they won it either. They won both ways.
Yeah, I know. But when we think about the Patrick Mahomes highlight reel, I don't think you're going to see these 10-yard, 8-yard possession receptions. You're going to see these bombs to Tyreek Hill.
To be honest, you're probably going to see like ring around the rosy, like, you know, the left-handed pass, him like floating through the air, you know, as he's kind of also throwing a touchdown pass.
13 seconds against the Bills.
Actually, well, obviously.
The most unstoppable I've ever seen him is that first year in Miami. That was like, you could not cover that guy at all. He was like prime Calvin Johnson. Like, you couldn't double team him. He'd run right past a double team.
Megatron.
It was crazy.
Yeah, he was talking about getting 2,000 yards. He was talking about getting 2,000 yards, and it didn't sound crazy at the time.
Because he's an impossible cover because he was so fast. Now he's 30 and injury prone. But he'll move way up that. Don't worry about Zach Ertz. He's going to blow past that guy.
Oh, Zach Ertz is a...
He's still playing, I know.
On a really good offense. A Cliff Kingsbury offense.
Zach Ertz has been playing football since I was like in the fourth grade. That's incredible.
888-710-4ISN. Some of these tight ends hang around for a long, long time. 888-710-4476. Dominic is calling from San Francisco. He's got a bone to pick with our nickname bracket. 64 nicknames have been released. What's up, Dom?
I have a bone to pick. Ow.
Did you leave somebody off?
No, I don't know. I'm going to go with the coolest adjective, which is cool, and say Joe Cool for Joe Montana. And I have the coolest
Broadway,
radio voice.
Does that
I have
count?
The coolest radio voice, and that's EJ.
EJ the DJ. We found
he's
out.
He's going to have his own show, and he's going to be super famous one day.
Well, that's...
Wow. There you go, EJ.
Promise I didn't pay him to say that.
That's a given, Dominic, because Perloff and I know talent when we see it.
his efficiency wasn't good and his field goal percentage and blah, 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 blah.
Get the f*** out of here.
Okay, so Joe Cool is not on the field, and not in the field of 64.
Right, yeah, I don't know if Dom realized he's not in the field, but that he said that that's the ultimate nickname.
Wait, Joe Cool. You know what nickname we forgot?
Patrick is crazy.
Patrick Mahomes. We would never. I'm still not convinced that's a real nickname for Patrick Mahomes. Fat Trick Mahomes.
I mean, Patrick is crazy. I thought so too until that radio host was talking about how fat he was in Kansas City, and everybody's mad at that guy. And I was like, maybe Fat Trick is a thing.
So we do not have Joe Cool, and we don't have Patrick Mahomes.
This crap is crap.
However, we do have one great quarterback nickname.
This might be the thing that gets me off.
Pillsbury Throwboy.
Ooh.
R.I.P.
Yeah.
Giant man. Legend.
Hefty legit. Lefty. He has two nicknames, too.
Another guy with two lefty nicknames. Because when you put that one down, I thought of him more of the Hefty Lefty.
Jared Lorenzen.
Yeah. Super Bowl champion, Jared Lorenzen.
He might have been one of the most entertaining college football players I've ever seen.
Did they call him Pillsbury Throwboy in college,
yeah.
though?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think yeah. so, yeah. That dated back to college at Kentucky. I mean,
so
those
that
teams
did
were,
make the list.
Those
Joe
teams were
Cool
not good,
did not.
But he was great. No, Joe Cool did not make the list, but Jared Lorenzen's in there.
And if you have a problem with that, then we have a problem with you.
I mean, Pillsbury Throwboy is elite, too.
Exactly.
I was looking at Broadway Joe and thought we had Joe Cool, so I think we have a Joe.
We do have Broadway Joe.
Gibbs. Joe. By the way, Randy Moss nickname. He deserves a better nickname.
Yeah, he was the freak, right?
He was the freak, but it was loose. Like, he wasn't really called that a lot.
84 don't stretch on game day.
Yeah, that was a problem. That didn't stick. And to be honest, he played in the same era of a guy who was the freak, and it stuck, which was
Javon Curse.
Yeah, Javon Curse definitely stuck.
Great
yeah.
nickname, too.
Well, they also, you know, ESPN, to their credit, did come up with the segment Getting Mossed, and that yeah. was very fun.
Yeah.
I mean, those 50-50 balls.
T.O. is just T.O. That's not a nickname, is it?
Yeah, I think I am proud that for this listing, we did not do any, like, just, like, initials. Those are so. That's a problem we have today. We have AP, we have AD,
we have CeeLo,
we have KD. Like those are not real nicknames.
SGA.
That's not a nickname.
If you had AK-47,
that's different.
Because Andre Kirilenko.
Yeah, right? Because
that was on the back of his jersey.
There's an actual like reference to something else, but like there is no reference that goes along with AD.
Yeah, how about you know the great receivers? All that Jerry Rice was the GOAT, mm-hmm. but that wasn't really till later. The receivers should have better nicknames. We got to work
well,
on this.
Well, Ocho Cinco.
Ocho Cinco's in there.
Who changed his name.
And Megatron.
That's not a nickname anymore. That's his legal name.
I ain't going to wear no underwear.
And Megatron doesn't make it. Our own Andrew Kaplan.
Yeah, like Ahmad Rashad's not a nickname. That's his. If you change your name, you're out.
a little different. Andrew Kaplan, our very own, has an issue with our bracket.
NBA reporter Ahmad Rashad.
And Kaplan did.
Yeah, do you know his real name?
I don't know.
His before he changed his name?
No, I don't. Jack.
I don't remember.
Okay. Oh, Pearl.
Bobby Moore.
Wow.
What?
You guys didn't know Ahmad Rashad came up in Oregon as Bobby Moore and like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar changed his name?
Yeah.
No idea.
Yeah.
I learned this today. Wait, Cap has an issue?
Yeah. Well, Cap, EJ... I mean, you guys did a lot of great work on this, so I want to make sure that all of Cap's grievances are also heard because he worked so hard on this.
Yeah, what does he got?
We do not have the Greek god of walks.
That's a Yankee legend.
Oh, I love that nickname.
Yep. Kevin Youkilis did not make the field of 64.
Who's not Greek, right?
No, I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either.
Yeah. That's a... Yeah. I remember there was a guy named Sam Jacobson in Minnesota. Remember that? And Keith Olbermann called him the Jewish Jordan, and he wasn't Jewish. That was really good.
No, Youkilis, the Greek god of walks, did not make it into the field of 64. But obviously, we have a super high bar. I mean, just beyond high. So
what a 30-game stretch he had with the Yankees.
Hoops and Handles is available for you to vote on now at Maggie and Pearl on X. Also, the Legacy and Legends region. We will the whole bracket's out, so you can see everything. But you can vote on two more regions tomorrow.
We're talking about practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he is of Romanian descent. What if the Greek freak wasn't from Greece? like that? Yeah, the Greek god of walks was a great one.
There you go. Okay, so lots of work to do.
Adetokunbo.
Oh, man. Okay, we have to answer this one very important question about the NFL. And we will both do that next. Maggie Pearl.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
This is Andrew Perloff with an Odyssey Sports Minute. This is Andrew Perloff with a Sports Minute. Longtime college football analyst Lee Corso was honored at the ESPYs last night. Week one of this season will be his final broadcast. Makes sense, he is 90, but something will be lost when Corso walks away. In today's media world, it's rare to see someone with so much positive energy. The only time people got mad at him, when he picked against their team on game day. It was an emotional last night when they paid tribute to Corso. He has a lot of friends at ESPN. And unfortunately, we did a bracket with a lot of basketball players, and the basketball nicknames are so elite. You have to be so good to get out of here.
So half man, half amazing, Vince Carter is an 8 seed going up against the 9 seed, the Greek Freak.
Adetokunbo.
Tough. Real tough, these 8-9 matchups.
Yeah,
are just,
I mean, they're both great, great nicknames.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Killer. Steve's in Hawaii. Steve, there's another person we left out. How you doing?
Hi, Maggie. Hey, look, bear with me. It's 3:25 in the morning here, and I fell asleep, I was awakened by what I thought was the voice of an angel, and then I realized, oh, it's Maggie Gray. And so I thought I'd call in and give you guys a great NFL nickname from the past. He's a 1974 inductee in the NFL Hall of Fame. In 1952, I believe it was, he set a league record his rookie year with 14 interceptions in a 12-game season. That record still stands today. And he was known, his nickname is because he was known as for his signature tackle. It was called the Night Train Necktie.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking about Richard Dick Night Train Lane. Star cornerback for the NFL, 14 seasons, played for the Rams, Cardinals, and his last team was with the Lions. And I relate to him because one of our great Hawaii football players, Rodney Freitas, was a Detroit Lion.
Steve, it's a great one. We had Night Train Lane. I promise you, we did have him on other versions of our bracket. Thank you for saying my voice like an angel, though I think you may have been joking about that. I remind you of Velma from Scooby-Doo.
That's a great clip.
And Night Train Lane didn't make it in the final 64.
Maggie tried to follow, but Velma's a sexy one, right? Because in the 90s and 2000s remake of Scooby-Doo, they cast beautiful women as Velma.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Because everyone's the sexy version of everything in this day and age.
Yes, right.
Well, and then I came out in like the 90s.
You're not allowed to look average anymore.
Elite.
God bless Linda.
But you can't look average anymore, even animated.
Even Velma's hot right now.
Yeah.
And like you young people. By the way, even the Gilligan's Island cast is looking good. As I get older, I'm like, ooh, Lovey Howell. No, that is an inside joke from the show.
Okay, so right now, unfortunately, Dick Night Train Lane did not make it on, which was crushing for us.
Get out of here. No, I have no problem. Night Train Lane, that guy played in the 50s and 60s. I mean, this is a long... You start off, there's 200 nicknames we could have been there. Night Train Lane is not the most egregious one. There are more egregious ones.
We have the Galloping Ghost on there. I mean, we have guys who played the Great Bambino. We have guys who played...
The Great Bambino!
We have guys who played a long time ago.
But you look at the seeding, like the more famous you are, the more important. Like Magic Johnson and Air Jordan are 1 and 2 seeds. Like those are huge, iconic names. If you walk down the street and say, do you know who Night Train Lane was? Most people are going to say no.
Well, his seven-time first-team All-Pro, Night Train Lane. Anyway, yes, CeeLo is here.
Did I see that Mr. Hockey's a 16?
I know.
Oh, this is a sore spot, CeeLo. You have no idea. You have no idea. Because Maggie also dissed him in our last big project, the Mount Olympus of sports gods for every city, and did not put him on Detroit.
I put Steve Yzerman on. How long am I going to have to live this down?
Okay.
And you said, because he's got a nickname, Stevie Y, and we're all like, that? No. The other guy's got a better nickname?
That's not why I said, because he also helped them win as an executive. And you had Gordie Howe, and I was like, you took care of it with Gordie Howe and Joe Louis, and I put on Steve Yzerman.
But no, actually, the one you couldn't believe I put Joe Louis on there, because you said in the exercise, you can't do an athlete because he's from a city, it's got to be where he played.
Yes.
And you said that Joe Louis's famous fights were all over.
Yeah, and then after you won that poll, goal and such a smashing success, and I got destroyed from here to kingdom come, then I started putting boxers and stuff on.
I had random people in my life coming up to me and asking how Maggie didn't put Gordie Howe on there.
Including car salesmen.
It wasn't just that. There were many, many people that we got a lot of reaction to that one. Mr. Hockey at 16, you did it again.
Yeah, you
man.
Doubled
you
down
didn't
on
Stevie
your
Y in there.
Gordie Howe disrespect.
Now all of a, this is like success as a thousand fathers and failure as an orphan. All of a sudden, when everyone's complimenting the bracket, wow. It's a group project. Who, then when all of a sudden Mr. Hockey is a 16 seed, yeah. All of a sudden Maggie's to play.
Who's the anti Gordie Howe person in the crew? It's always been you. Guy played in four decades, Maggie. Yeah.
I know. What is my problem with Gordie Howe? Turns out nothing.
You have he
one of
hate
life's
me.
Great mysteries.
You have he hate me ranked ahead of Gordie Howe.
Yeah. Stop saying I do. You sat next to me.
He hate me is a nickname.
No, I was a big advocate of he hate me. I love that nickname.
He had to be in there.
He's a 15 seed in the same bracket where Gordie Howe's a 16.
All right, so it's more the quality of the nickname than
it's a combo.
What the player combo.
It's a hybrid. Right.
Okay.
It's a moving target is what it is, CeeLo, but it's available right now.
Subjective, yes.
You're the moving target.
It's available for you right now on Maggie, at Maggie and Pearl on X, Maggie and Perloff on Instagram, and the voting is open in two of the four regions, the Hoops and Handles and the Legacy and Legends, so go ahead and vote.
We could have a 16-1. We could have a 16-1. We'll do that vote tomorrow. Mr. Hockey could upset a one seed. I won't say who, but it's possible.
All right. I like the sound of that. It's a live 16. There you go. I assume everyone's kind of all Shane Gillis out at this point.
No.
A little bit. No, you're not?
Absolutely
okay.
not.
Excellent. All right. A few more from last night's ESPYs, his monologue, hosting, all that. We'll put this one in the crossover category of sports and politics.
Joe Rogan actually wanted me to be here to host this award show so that I could capture Adam Silver because Joe thinks he's an alien. And Donald Trump wanted me to be here to capture Juan Soto for the same reason. It's an alien joke. Wait, who booed up there, dude? Shut up.
A few didn't care for that one, I guess. I like the Adam Silver alien or Mr. Bigglesworth from Austin Powers. That's what I think of when I see Adam Silver.
That's funny.
With those ears and the bald head.
So Gillis also tells a story in the monologue that's not really so much of a joke, but he tells a story about being at the Super Bowl. He's a big Eagles fan, so he was there to watch the Eagles beat the Chiefs. And they see that President Trump is there. So they go. He and a friend are like, let's go get in the suite and try to meet President Trump.
Mm-hmm.
They get in, said, apparently it's not that hard. I'm like, oh, that's not good. You should definitely have tons of security. And so he does his whole Trump impersonation.
For Trump?
No, he's doing it to the audience, impersonating what it was like to meet him. And he goes, I can't believe people think that Trump knows anything about sports. Like, he doesn't know anything about sports. He'll just be like, look at these guys, these big guys.
Yeah, huge
and
men.
All of a sudden, he just waves over Gianni Infantino, who is the head of FIFA, calls him just the head of soccer, and just brings him over. It's him, Ivanka, Trump, and then Trump walks away. And Ivanka walks away. So now it's just Gillis and Gianni Infantino, and they're just standing there awkwardly like, it's the daughter, Ivanka. And they stand there awkwardly and like, well, how about that? Like, knows nothing about sports, even though he wants to do a UFC fight on the White House lawn.
Yeah. That was some big meaty men slapping meat.
Shane Gillis does a good Trump, by the way.
Perfect.
Oh my God.
Yeah, spot on.
That is legit.
Yeah.
But Trump's kind of like Christopher Walken. I think every comedian has a Trump.
I feel like Shane, because of the lines he delivers, is much better than the guy on Saturday Night Live.
The new guy on Saturday Night Live I'm not crazy about.
Yeah, I don't feel like he's nailing Trump for some reason. Some of the lines are funny.
Excuse
but,
me?
Like his
nailing song. The impersonation.
Yeah, yeah.
Nailing threes.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
I don't think he has it down. Remember, you know who's really good? Phil Hartman used to be
best
God.
At impersonations.
And Dana Carvey did Legend. George Bush. But I think Shane Gillis is definitely going to live off his Trump impersonation forever.
Phil Hartman and Daryl Hammond had some good ones as well.
Hammond was who? Bill Clinton, right?
Yeah. I think maybe some others, but Bill Clinton, yeah.
Andy, let me talk to you for a second. You know, just act like you do on the show. Like, don't make a big deal of it. It's, I know there's a lot of cameras around. Just act like you do on the show. It's no big deal. You know, just relax.
Big impersonation.
Sandman. Yeah. Yeah, no, I would not be able to do it. Actually, I could probably do.
Sometimes
like, the
my
older
accent
Bush,
gets confused.
I feel like
British
I can pull that off.
That actually sounds a little Indian. Now I'm all over the place.
What is that?
You think you could do a president? You have a presidential accent you've been working on?
I just feel like George H.W. Bush doesn't have much of an accent, so I could just talk.
George H.W. That was a Dana Carvey specialty.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah, what did he do? He had a line that he would use.
A thousand points of light. State of course.
Who did Obama? Jay Farrow was in there.
He's very good.
Obama is an easy guy to impersonate because of his strange rhythm to the way he talks.
Cadence. There was this one guy on YouTube who impersonated Obama well. I forgot what his name was.
How about when Key and Peele did Obama? That was
well, that was the
level.
Obama translator, Luther. Jordan Peele would do Obama. And then
right.
Keegan-Michael Key would do Luther, the Obama translator.
I was thinking of the sketch where he would bro hug all the black guys and they would handshake the white guys.
Even the little baby.
That's a classic.
Baby got a handshake.
That's comedy.
Anywho.
Earlier we heard Gillis touched on the Bill Belichick, Jordan Hudson relationship, age gap, all that. Here was the rest of the sequence.
I'm not trashing Bill Belichick. First off, he's 73 years old and he's dating a hot 24-year-old and people are criticizing him? What happened to this country? It used to be a great country. He won 6 Super Bowls. Yeah. He's dating a hot 24-year-old. Maybe if you guys won 6 Super Bowls, you wouldn't be sitting next to a fat, ugly dog wife.
Another one where the reaction wasn't great, except that guy in the back who's like, woo! So he deflected.
That guy's single.
Yeah, definitely. He deflected
and
from
that
there.
Guy was me.
I'm May Fu
in. Impressive you got in here in time, yeah.
They let me do it. I don't... This is Disney. They allowed that. I'm going to tell you a story. I was at a... we should have taken that out. I had doubts going into that. That didn't work all week.
Backfired on him a little bit. And then I guess you could say leaving on a low note, he went for the Norm MacDonald tribute, saluting the OJ joke he told back in the day, hosting the ESPYs. This one didn't land quite as well, and this was his exit stage left for the monologue.
Travis Hunter won the Heisman Trophy this year. He's the first defensive player since Charles Woodson to win the Heisman. Congratulations, Travis Hunter, winning the Heisman. That's something they can never take away from you, unless you kill your wife and a waiter, in which case they can take that away from you. Well, see, a lot of you don't like me, and that's okay. That's it for me. That went about as exactly how we all thought it was going to go. I don't know why this happened.
Very awkward.
I don't know snuck that in at the end, because I doubt that Disney and ABC would have been cool with that.
Wait, the OJ joke, that one's not nearly as bad as some of the other ones.
No, but it didn't go over well the first time Norm did it all those years
ago. Right, but it's like kind of famous and iconic. But the years, sure. I think, have softened that.
To include Travis Hunter in that?
I felt terrible for Travis Hunter. Because first of all, he is definitely, I would say, probably never heard it the first time because it was so long ago, and now all of a sudden you're like wrapped up in this awkward OJ joke.
I've not seen any criticism of that joke. The Caitlin Clark stuff has gotten a lot of criticism. I think OJ joke, that was 40 years ago. You can make OJ jokes all you want.
I don't know necessarily about it being an OJ joke, but then like tying it into a current day person.
I thought that was much more about O.J. Simpson than Travis Hunter.
Yeah, I guess.
That was more hypothetical, the only way you could do it.
It's an unfortunate stray for Travis Hunter there.
Travis Hunter know who O.J. is? Was?
I mean, McDonald got in trouble for the Saturday Night Live O.J. stuff. Like, the ESPYs, there was no fallout from.
There was another one where they put the camera on Travis. They had nothing to do with him, but put the camera on him, and he was trying to, like, stifle a laugh. They did a Shador Sanders joke, where he said Shador Sanders had his jersey retired by the Colorado Buffaloes, and, you know, people are saying it's nepotism. It's definitely not. It's that he had a 13-12 record and almost won the Alamo Bowl.
Yes, I saw that.
Definitely not nepotism. And they put it on Travis Hunter, and he's really doing his best not to laugh.
I mean, you got to laugh at all this stuff. That's the point, no?
It's hilarious.
It's kind of like when Ricky Gervais would do the Golden Globes. They knew this was going to be the tone, right? That's why they did it.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, roast, you know?
So Travis Hunter catches a stray. Speaking of catching strays, how about the Hornets getting one from Paul George on Podcast with P?
Listen, if I'm a free agency, I'm not picking Charlotte just because there's no winning culture there alone. Right. Regardless, Charlotte is an amazing city.
Yeah, it is.
Would love to play for it because of the city. Like, I could see myself living there. But in terms of a basketball standpoint, I'm not going. That, like, my career over with if I go there.
Love you, Charlotte. Love the people. But, yeah, the Hornets suck. So
well,
can't
you
do
can
that.
Be calling yourself to play come on and lose all the
I
time.
I don't know.
I mean, he's under contract forever to my Sixers, unfortunately. I don't think Charlotte's going to want him either.
Yeah, I was going to say, the headline 2 days ago was Paul George undergoes arthroscopic surgery
oh,
to
boy.
Treat left knee. I don't think Charlotte is jumping to get you either.
No. Speaking of headlines, because we do say this is headlines, I wanted to do this yesterday. Hopefully Bogus didn't do it earlier in the week. I don't think so because it's off the beaten path. How's this for a headline? And I apologize. I'm probably going to butcher this guy's name. Marathoner Foja Singh dies at 114 after being hit by a car. You guys did this already?
No, Manny showed it to us after the show. And God. The irony of this guy living this long, being this in shape, and then hit by a car.
Did
so
you,
sad.
And some of the backs, did you read about this
I
guy's life?
No.
I know we don't really have time. I'd recommend reading up on this guy's life, how he became a marathoner, which is a tragic story involving another family member who died in a grotesque way.
Oh, gosh.
So pretty wild.
Like, 100 years ago? So whatever happened 100 years ago?
No. He became a marathoner
later.
Like late in life.
Mm. Okay.
After most people are, you know, retired.
So he actually ran. He didn't win marathons.
No. Okay. He ran marathons. Oldest man to run a full marathon in 2011 at the age of 100 in Toronto.
Oh, I thought he was like a gold medalist back in the Germany Olympics in 1936.
He was a torchbearer for the 2012 London Olympics. So he took up, he began running, took up distance running at the age of 80.
What?
Which is wild.
Wait, here's a question. If you said he was 100 and he ran the Toronto Marathon?
Became the oldest man to run a full marathon in 2011 at the age of 100 in Toronto.
All 26.2.
If you're like 27 years old and this guy beats your time.
I saw the time somewhere.
Just quit running.
Just stop. I'm not saying everyone has to beat his time, but like if you're in your 20s or early 30s or something,
yeah,
and a 100-year-old beats you in a marathon.
This guy remembers World War One.
Yeah, that's nuts.
He was 8 when World War One ended.
You should burn your shoes.
Yeah, get into weightlifting. Do some other activity.
Something else. Tennis.
Best time was 5 hours and 40 minutes at the 2003 Toronto Marathon.
All right, that's a long time, but that's okay.
Yeah, but he
was in the original marathon in ancient Greece.
Yeah, right. At that point, he was 91 or 92. I mean, that's crazy.
When the first marathon happened?
The first one he ran. No. Yeah, it's wild.
I mean,
he's got
to look both ways. Is this on him?
I suppose. Yeah, it said he was crossing the road in his native village in, I think this is in India. Yeah.
If you take a look at the videos of how people drive in the bigger cities in India, I mean, in like Delhi or something like that, it looks very, very stressful just to even like cross the road. Can you imagine driving?
Wow. Yeah, no. there was a tragic hit and runs are awful. It happens all the time.
Of course.
That joke was inappropriate. I pulled a Shane Gillis there.
Yeah, you got that same amount of awkward
too
silence.
Soon. I mean, the guy got 114 years in. I'm not so terrible.
It's just the idea.
You said look both ways.
Well, he got hit crossing the road.
He was
know?
Checking out his phone.
I don't know about that.
He
probably had
cell phone.
A younger girlfriend like Bill Belichick.
Sending his fantasy cricket lineup? No.
You know, you get to 114, you don't expect cause of death to be hit by a car, you know?
That's cool, why also, I was
especially when you're a marathoner.
Right.
The other part is he alone crossing the street? There's nobody who's going to help him out? I'm not saying he's a child. I'm just saying, like, you know, 114, you might need some assistance.
Well, he ran marathons, though, so I guess he wouldn't. No one, do you have someone helps him run a marathon? I would assume not.
Yeah, that's a good point. CeeLo, thank you. Fantastic job morning long. Make sure to vote on all of our polls.
Oh, I already voted.
Oh, you did?
Oh, I did.
Any of the lower seats?
I voted against Pearl's guy, Sean Kemp.
You voted against the Rain
Man? Yeah, he's getting killed.
I mean,
it's the logo he's going against. It's hard.
Yeah, that's iconic.
Well, the 413 is the new 512, so
there
they always
go.
Say that.
Yeah. Yeah, they do.
And the 512 is the Black Mama against Dr. Duncan Stein. So
yeah, I went Black
go
Mama
vote.
There.
What's up?
I went Black Mama there. Sorry.
Yeah, just go chalk on that one, CeeLo. No.
Joke for him.
Okay.
That's it.
A lot more to do, including the most important non-quarterback in the upcoming NFL season. We'll do that next.
I could touch God right now. That's the only chance I'm ever going to get to see him.
Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Okay, so the nickname bracket, it's live. Greatest nicknames in sports history. We're going to try to find a winner The first two out of four regions are live that you can actually vote on. The others you can just see. It will open up the voting for the other two regions tomorrow. So make sure to check that out at Maggie and Pearl on Twitter, Maggie and Perloff on Instagram.
I have a rule, and I think we follow this. If you don't know the person's real name and his nickname has become his real name, I don't think it's a nickname anymore. This is I'm going to call it the Chad Ochocinco debate.
Well, you're going to sound like a hypocrite on your own bracket because Magic Johnson is a two seed. And I bet a lot of people don't. If you're talking about casual fans now, I bet they might not know his name.
See, I would think maybe because I'm older that Irvin, I think enough people know Irvin Magic Johnson. But Boog Powell, for example, he's not on our list because I don't think he's quite iconic enough. Nobody knows Boog Powell's real first name. Nobody knows Whitey Ford's first name. Nobody knows.
But you said nobody knows that Babe Ruth's first name.
Yes, I think the common person thinks
the
his name is Babe Ruth.
Bambino.
Nobody calls him George Ruth. That has never been uttered.
It's George Herman.
It's never been uttered, but people know it enough.
But if you go in the record book, the third person all time in home runs is Babe Ruth. It's not George Ruth. So that's what I mean. Like, that's why, to me, the great Bambino is why we put in the bracket.
Yeah,
exactly.
Salt LeSwat did not make it in. But.
Sugar Ray Robinson. What's his real name?
Ray Robinson.
Ray.
Okay. That's a bad one, I guess. But that didn't make our
list. What did that prove?
Well, if it just became his name.
Right, yeah. No, you're making a point.
We called him Sugar Ray?
Yeah. Well, yeah,
that's because he had Sugar Ray Leonard as well, though.
Right. Nobody called him Ray Leonard.
A little more than maybe Ray Robinson.
No, yeah. Oh, yeah. Sugar Ray Robinson's name was Walker Smith, better known as Sugar Ray Robinson.
Yeah, I had a project on him in like the sixth grade.
Pardon me. All right. So I guess that does deserve to be in there as a nickname.
It doesn't because that's his name. But it's funny. I thought Manny wasn't going to know Babe Ruth's real name, but then he is wearing a Yankees jersey.
Yeah.
No, George Herman, baby.
If you didn't know, we'd have to take that jersey and remove it from you.
I would have to take this jersey off of me and do the rest of the show shirtless.
Okay, so quickly, let's do, we've been teasing it all show. I would like to get it in. NFL superlative, Pearl, the non-quarterback who will either be the biggest impact or the most important non-quarterback in this upcoming NFL season is who?
Okay. We talking offense? You guess you go with it. I'm going to go Ja'Marr Chase. And that goes against all my logic that wide receivers are somewhat generic because he is the most electric offensive weapon in the game. Not only can he run deep routes, he can take a screen pass at any time. And he single-handedly, as good as Joe Burrow is, carried the Bengals a time last year. So that name just jumped off. I think he's the number one receiver in the game. I think he's the number one non-quarterback offensive player in football.
Wow. I mean, he and Justin Jefferson probably 1A, 1B, however you want to put him.
I think he's a little more electric than Justin Jefferson.
I'm not sure about that, but you could quibble with that. Yeah. I think both are good answers. The only problem with Ja'Marr Chase is being the most impactful non-quarterback in the NFL is he had a great year last year and the Bengals didn't make the playoffs. So that's definitely a mark against him and Joe Burrow, quite frankly. To me, it's got to be Travis Hunter. Because I'm so curious about how the Jacksonville Jaguars, first of all, handle this. Like, how do the snap counts break out? And, you know, is he actually going to try to play a full slate of offense and defense at the professional level? Deion did not do that. You know, Deion was a full-time defensive player and then playing some special teams and some offense, but not anywhere close to full-time.
So, say he does play both. Like, how effective do you expect him to be?
I think you're asking him to do way too much. I wouldn't do it. I'm on record of that. I'd pick a side, but I don't think they're going to do that in Jacksonville. At least that's not what we're getting. And if he actually pulls this off again, I think it's going to have a Shohei-like impact because we've seen guys do trick plays and Mike Vrabel scoring touchdown and, you know, defensive guys getting in on offense, but not full time.
Gosh, man, I'm all about Travis Hunter, and I didn't even think that it'd be like Shohei. But Shohei is the best hitter in baseball, or right there, 1-2 with Aaron Judge. Like, Travis Hunter, is he going to be the best at either of these?
Well, there were some people thought he was the best wide receiver in the class, even better than Ted Roe and McMillan.
Yeah, no, I'm one of those people. But the way they're going to use him, I don't know if systematically he can do this.
Thank you to E.J. Stewart. Huge thank you. And Andrew Kaplan for this heavy lift of a bracket. Thank you, Manny Rodriguez, Chris Lopresti, who's been with us yesterday and today. And thank you for listening. And go vote at Maggie and Pearl.